Well, it looks like we're live again, Mrs. Stubbs.
Yes, how about that?
Yeah, we're shooting into our second podcast here. On it's called It's Marriage with a Question Mark. So we made it past our first intro.
Right.
And what are we doing in the second one, Heather?
So we get to actually interview our first couple in this interview or this podcast.
Great. So there's going to be four of us sitting around trying to get this going together.
Right.
But before we get there, we did mention in our previous podcast that we were interested in at least keeping before our listeners resources that are available. So we're currently going through what we call the Date Night Dinner series. It's what? Paul Tripp. The book's called What Did You Expect?
Right. So I think it'd be kind of encouraging maybe to let our listeners know if you haven't been part of, we're doing once a month on a Friday night.
Yeah.
First Friday?
First Friday of each month.
Yeah.
I think we're taking December off.
Right. Because of holidays
correct.
And all that good
yeah.
thing.
So not sure when you'll hear this podcast, but shooting into 2024, that's our intent, is that we're going to try to see how it goes and try to, if not offer them every month, but maybe other months. So.
Right. And it's beautiful because the particular series that we're going through with Paul Tripp builds on each CD.
Right.
So I think it's like a 10 CD series or something like that.
Yeah.
So we thought, you know, let's keep going with this and hopefully offer some encouragement and some perspective and thoughts. It did us.
Yeah, and it's a great time to come together. I think we had, you know, close to 60 people. And it's more than just the series. We're able to have a meal together.
Right.
And really get to know other couples that are from the church that maybe you have not met before. So kind of keep that on your radar. Keep looking out for whether it's the website or in the church bulletin when that is going to happen.
Right.
The second resource that we've come upon was, it's called A Weekend to Remember. It's done by Family Life. I'm not sure if y'all are aware of that. But
no, they've been doing this for quite a few years. It started in just a couple areas of the country. And now there's been such a call for people wanting to go, specific for couples.
Mm-hmm.
So now it reaches across the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, we have one close to us coming.
Kind of in our back door.
Right. In Portland, Maine. The dates are April 19, 24 through April 21. I think it's probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I think you get out Sunday fairly early. These are great things to get away from. And just a side note too, I think when it comes to marriage ministry, when it comes to what we're really trying to do here at the church or what a big organization like Family Life is trying to do, is that when you look at the family ministry, sometimes people just look at it like it only if you're in trouble.
Right.
But these are great encouraging.
I've heard that before.
Don't really need it. Yeah.
But these are things we cannot be reminded about enough.
Enough, correct.
In fact, I think we're going to try to do it ourselves this year.
Yeah, so keep it on the date and we'll keep you in touch as well. So. Well, as promised, we have our second podcast coming at you with Dan and Lauren Odom. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, glad you're here. Hey, just before we get started here, a little bit of background and really what we have, and that's Pastor Dan. He's currently serving here at the First Baptist Church, overseeing the marriage ministry. And really, we've loaded you up with several other ministries. So
you can say yes.
Yes, that would be a nice way to say it.
Yeah, it really is. So we thought this would be great to have you guys as our first interview on the podcast. So,
right. Yeah. Obviously, overseeing the marriage ministry here, that's a big deal. That's what this is about. However, there is another reason we have chosen Dan and Lauren that serves our purpose for this podcast.
Yeah.
Fun fact for everybody who doesn't know, Dan and I are actually related, brother and sister.
But then that makes me related.
I know.
Ooh, in-laws.
And Lauren, let's not forget her. But what makes this fun is, as we sit here sharing our married stories, It's also kind of fun for us because Dan and I share a life, obviously, of growing up. And we each would tell you that story completely different. So in addition to this, I call Lauren one of my best friends.
Oh, wow.
Same here.
Yeah. She serves beside Dan in ministry and compliments him extremely well. So we're just thrilled to have you both here.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you guys back at the church. And so here we are. It's marriage, question mark. So we are going to dive into these questions just to hear about your guys' story. So we greatly appreciate your willingness to do that. I'm going to start with number one. Hopefully we're going to get through 10 of these. So number one, we'll see how it goes. Number one says this, how did you meet and what were your first impressions of your spouse?
Well, we actually met here at Hampton Falls First Baptist Church. Must have been, what,
21
years ago. And
it's hard to believe.
For those who know the church layout, there's a room we call the Annex Room, which is real close to the fellowship or the gymnasium. And back then, we had a part-time pastor, Pastor Dean Glover.
Yeah.
And he had set up an evening of kind of get to know. We were starting a young adults Bible study, and I was going to teach it. And so, but no one knew who I was. So he thought, well, let's get to know one another night. And so we had a fun evening of food and fellowship in the annex. And that was the very first time I met Lauren.
And same here.
Did you guys catch each other's eyes? You remember?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Lauren was full of life, vivacious, and she I would say it this way without it sounding weird, but she had a glow about her,
yes,
and that was hard not to notice.
Yeah.
And furthermore, to make the story even more fun, when I learned her name, I then said, oh, Lauren, and someone who was standing right beside her said, well, that's not how you say it. And she corrected me and then said, no, it's Lauren.
Lauren.
And so
I say it the New England way, Lauren, like laundry, because I always point out there's no O in my name.
That's right.
I
no,
didn't
that's
know that.
Good.
So right. I never
and
forgot
Lauren
that.
Rhymes with boring. And I don't like the way that sounds.
That's great.
Oh, boy.
So, what were your first impressions of each other?
Oh, just that she was full of life, and that there was this glow about her that I thought was attractive in multiple ways, and I just knew this was a special woman.
Now, maybe a week or so or a month before, the youth pastor at the time, Pastor Jeff, I had been in China that summer. So I had come back in.
Oh, okay.
And when I saw Jeff for the first time, he greeted me at the door coming in, gave me a hug. And he said, the first thing he said to me was, I've got someone for you to meet. So I went into that meeting excited to meet Dan. Otherwise, why would have Jeff had said something like that?
That is so cool. All right. Yeah. Question number two. Obviously, you're married, so you found a way to each other. So why did you get married? Well, that's okay.
Isn't that what you do?
Isn't that what you do?
That's what you do when you love someone. Well, I don't want to speak first on everything here, but once I had really gotten, in a sense, a direction to date her and got over my fear of asking her for that initial date, I quickly found out through very intentional dating that this woman was special and that this was exactly the kind of woman that I would want to marry and spend the rest of my life with.
Amen.
And so once that was determined, and that happened very quickly based upon her seriousness and her love of the Lord, that I just truly felt that this was, I wasn't going to date just because I had nothing else to do.
Right.
So it was very intentional dating.
Your mind was made up.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Well, I remember from my missions pastor at Gordon, he had given advice. And he often would make a little side of advice during his lectures to us. But he said to us, and it stuck with me, that if you're thinking about getting married, make sure you marry a strong link, because you're only going to run as fast as the weakest link.
Oh, wow.
And when I met Dan and I saw his and benefited from his teaching and his Bible studies, I knew he was a strong link, and I wanted to run with that link.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you guys are running together. And that's what's so awesome.
I try to keep up with
Dan. Yeah, yeah. Mr. Fifth Gear.
I'm the weakest.
We all try to keep up with Dan.
That's awesome. Okay, moving on. Number three, how many years married and kids?
We are 19 years married, be 20 in May.
Okay.
And we have two kids. Hmm.
Sometimes it feels like four.
Well, you kind of do have four. I think two of them have fur.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
This is true. Yeah, and I mean, for those that are going, what are they talking about? We have two dogs, and they're two St. Bernard dogs.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
right,
they do act like children.
Brother and sister.
They eat more than the kids, probably.
Just about.
They turned a year old.
Wow.
And they're weighing, I don't know, somewhere around 120, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So,
okay, and the age of your kids?
Grayson is 16.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Anna is 15.
Going on 30.
Right.
Yes. Going on 30.
That is true.
Hopefully she won't hear this.
All right, awesome. All right, question number four. Highlight the things you like doing together as a couple. And are there things you absolutely cannot do together?
We can't paint a room together.
That's because I don't want to.
Anything constructive. We have our lanes and we stay in them.
Good. You've learned that.
Yeah, and we learned that very early on.
Yeah.
As much as we love one another, we quickly realized we are very different. In how we get things done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the early things for me to learn in our marriage was that it didn't have to be done my way.
Yeah. Mm.
And I know every couple is going to say that or probably go through a time like that, but it really was a monumental moment for me to realize it's going to get done. Just let her do it her way.
I think we're related.
Yeah.
And maybe you and I should learn. Yeah. We always try to do things together. And it's like,
we get to the same place, but very differently.
We do.
Dan is excited when the task is done.
Yes. Yes.
That's his accomplishment.
Yes.
I enjoy the process. So if it is something that I want to enjoy the process, Dan is not invited.
Smart girl.
That's good. That's awesome.
But it does work when we understand our lanes.
It does. There was a time I wouldn't even let him open the refrigerator door.
Oh, my goodness.
But we do enjoy spending time together.
We do.
The truth is, we've really grown to where we don't even care what that is. Mm. We used to kayak together years gone by when we moved
before
to Nebraska
kids.
And before kids, that kind of went away. But so we enjoy shopping, and that's not like going to a particular place. It's just whenever we do get to go out, just spending the time together without the children.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes just, that's going to Lowe's.
It really is.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's time away, and we're just kind of being together.
Right.
And so that's a big deal for us. I think because of the situation of a church and just what the job entails, it just sometimes our sweetest time is just hanging out on the couch together. Just
you take just it when you
with
can.
Each other's in each other's presence really is. So I know that might sound boring.
It's okay. We are boring.
We are
pretty
boring
too. We said that. Yeah. In our first podcast, we're like,
what do
not real excited.
But it is amazing too how the Lord joins couples together. And I do think that's a part of them being one, because you're able to sit on the couch as one. You're able to go down the tool aisle as one, yes. Right? Yep. Right, Dan?
Or I'm in the tool aisle and then she's looking at paint.
Which he's not going to help me do.
No.
That's awesome. All right, let's move on. Number five. Give us a time that there was an unexpected change that affected your marriage, and how did you seek the Lord in it? Mm. So getting kind of deep here.
I think the first time happened right after Grayson was born. I don't think either one of us was anticipating that I was going to have postpartum depression. Mm. And it happened almost instantly in the hospital. I remember keeping feelings to myself, hoping the nurse would take him away. Wow. And this, the guilt that would come with that, just a dark cloud that didn't match the circumstance, just came home with us from the hospital. Mm. And it didn't make sense because we had wanted this baby for so long, and we had lost a baby before that. So it didn't make sense that, why am I sad about this? Mm. And that was so having the baby was a change, but then the feelings that complicated it was an unexpected change for us that poor Dan had to deal with. And apparently our neighbors did too, because they'd come to the door and I'd have tears streaming down my face, thinking, right, should I come back? We need to rescue you.
It was a challenging time because as a new father, sure, and as Lauren just shared, we were so excited to have the birth of our first child. And we had hope for that and prayed for that. And then I didn't know what to do.
Oh yeah.
Because that didn't fit in my paradigm, mm-hmm, in the sense of, wait a minute, God's given us a gift. He's answered prayer. He's blessed us with the health, mm-hmm, of a child. And now I have a wife and a mother of our child who doesn't seem to, mm-hmm, want the child. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was a bizarre time. Mm-hmm. And I got scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really, truly did. Mm-hmm. I praise the Lord it didn't last that long.
No, I know it can last long for some people. And
I don't
in
remember
hindsight,
how long it lasted.
I don't know either.
Months, a couple months.
But I do remember being at breakfast, and Dan just kind of grabbed my hand and said, honey, you just really need to seek the Lord on this.
Mm.
And that probably was part of it. I mean, you're good to brush your teeth, let alone, mm-hmm, read your Bible, mm-hmm, when you have a newborn for the first time. You're not exactly an organized person to begin with. So, and I do, I felt like that was a shift, mm-hmm, for me, because I did do that. And I can't tell you a day that it went away. It just, mm-hmm, eventually, absolutely, faded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could kind of remember too, going back to that time with you guys, and I didn't know what, mm-hmm, I was looking at, because I think you pretty much concealed it very well, just to get through, right? Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of women struggle with this, marriages struggle with this, so thanks, mm-hmm, for sharing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, number six. Here's a fun one. How do you currently handle disagreements with each other? Any third rail topics that lead you into disagreements? Because we all laugh.
Well, I'm always right, so there isn't a disagreement.
That's right.
Oh, boy. She is, I will say, all humor aside, it's embarrassing how many times she is right.
Right?
It is true.
And now we have that on record.
For everyone. Yeah.
Kind of like that commercial of instant replay, yeah, across the flag.
Yeah.
It's so true. I've learned not to do that, yeah, with her.
Yeah. Third rail topics. Would we say those words again?
Yeah. We would... We really don't have too many areas that we have elevated that irritate us. in that regards. I mean, we've learned to stay in our lane. I know that's an overused term right now, but because we're different in particular areas, we've just learned to let go and allow her to have, you know, the domain of a particular area. And it, for us, it's the kitchen. It really is.
That could be a third rail.
Third rail is the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
When he enters and he opens the refrigerator, there's a reason I don't want him to, because he's going to look at 2 weeks of leftovers and start looking at my science experiments and say, what do you do all day?
Well, after 19 years of marriage, so here's the beauty of the interviews, right? Yeah. Because some couples, they're not there yet.
Yeah.
But you guys have learned, as we have, mm-hmm. there are certain areas where you're right, mm-hmm. staying in your lane. It is a big deal.
And I think the challenge is, too, I think there's times, if I could say this, in a marriage that we need to jump into the other person's lane. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's hard. Mm. And that's where we just need to loving each other, because sometimes I hate to say it's easy for me to stay in my lane when my lady needs some help. And so that is that
and
takes,
I'm going, hello,
what are you doing here?
Yeah. So, it is true.
Yeah.
We don't like that, true. But it's true.
All right. Number seven. What does the gospel mean to you within your marriage?
I think the gospel is not just something that we heard once and then said that we're saved and then we move on. Our view of the gospel is it's life, and it's an everyday topic. And so the whole concept of the gospel, that I have offended and I have wronged God, and therefore I need forgiveness of that wrong, and I need grace as a result of that wrong, plays out in just about every area of ministry, and every area of marriage. Mm-hmm. So I would hate to think of how many times I wronged the Lord, and the habitual constant grace that is regularly given to me, grace I really don't even deserve, is always a picture of the gospel. And so, and we could say that, I'm sure, both ways, and the importance of keeping short accounts, short records, that when you really legitimately feel wronged or hurt or slighted by the person that you love the most, or that maybe you entrusted the most, sometimes it's hard to do, but it's that gospel plays into every relational aspect of our marriage. And when we remember that, and when we challenge each other on that, all of a sudden, the stiff-neckedness or the, stubbornness that we so easily have ebbs away, or is easier to vanish. And I know that's important. That's important in parenting. Everything about parenting we've tried to do, again, with that concept of the gospel's in display here. So that's how I see it. Do you have any?
I just think, to piggyback off of what you just said, demonstrating the gospel in our marriage is really something our children need to see. They will learn the language of forgiveness from us and the model of it, or else they don't know how to do it. And there have been times when, I don't remember this situation, but I remember there was a time that something happened in front of the kids, and Dan got the kids together to give an apology to me in front of the kids.
Wow.
Because
that's huge.
Right. And that meant a lot to me, but I also knew it probably meant even more to Anna and Grayson.
I go back to Dan, yours and my childhood, and you know, our parents were fighters. So we did see a lot of that. And when forgiveness came, it did. It showed us something. So here we are now adults. You're now a parent. getting to show that same display to your kids.
Yeah.
You bet it matters.
And it is a picture of the gospel.
It is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah. We say there's hope for those who have are in sin, then that hope is only through the saving work of our Lord. And that includes forgiveness of sin and change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And the gospel means change, which means if I've now done something wrong publicly and I've asked for forgiveness publicly, now that means I need to start displaying that publicly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say something. It's not okay to keep doing it.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before. I've never looked at this, at least when we first got married, of talking about displaying. It's really can be missional in regards to, could we get to a place in our marriages that an onlooking world will look at us and say, what is that?
Amen.
And it gives us that open door that it's Christ, it's the gospel that keeps us together. And so it's an ongoing witness, Lord, not only to the kids, but to other people as well. So,
and yeah. I think, too, at this point, it'd be really good for us to say, we know that a lot of couples are struggling.
Yeah.
Understanding what this looks like in their marriages. Mm-hmm. But we also hope that everybody's encouraged to realize this is the goal for us, right?
We're all works of progress.
That's right. And our, you know, it's met with our stubbornness from time to time, our pride, whatever. But we want this to be the goal for every marriage because we know it's the transforming work in our marriages.
Amen.
Okay, number 8. What are some unique challenges as a married couple that you face in ministry, Dan, being pastor, and Lauren, as a pastor's wife, that you actually want to share?
Yeah, really.
Who's listening?
Close your ears. La, la, la.
I'll jump in, and then you piggyback or share in. But I think for me personally, the output factor of being a pastor is, and I know not every job is this way, but it is this way as a pastor, at least for me. And you feel like you're constantly giving out emotional energy.
For sure.
And you want to be present in every single conversation you're having. And the constant fear is that you're coming across as though you're disinterested or you're not listening. And so after a day of that and a week of that.
Yeah, you kind of did that to me in the lobby Sunday.
No.
No, just kidding.
Very different.
And so you're constantly, you know, wanting to be present.
Yeah.
And then to come home after a day or an evening meeting and purposely realize, and sometimes I have to tell myself out loud as I'm driving into the driveway, is your day's not over.
Good.
And I don't always succeed on that. And Lauren knows that. And the kids know that, unfortunately. So that is a great challenge to realize that my day's not over when I get home. And I still have a couple of teenagers that need to be vested in. And I've got a wife who gets the last 5 minutes of my day.
Right.
You know, and that's not fair. And that's I'm not saying I've mastered that challenge. I'm just saying that's an ongoing challenge.
For sure. For me, well, I'm not really sure what to say on this one. It used to be maybe when I was younger, the amount of time, but I've grown used to that and I fully support that. I think if anything, my biggest challenge is what other people say, what other people critique, what other people grumble about, because he is gone a lot and he's gone a lot for the sake of the flock. And there's a lot of investment in the flock that people don't know about because he's carrying a lot of different hats right now and they all need attention and urgent attention. And he can't be perfect at all of them. And sometimes I feel like people do expect perfection. And that's where my struggle is for him.
I can get offended or upset. And I just have to chill out on some of it and not act like the world is ending and everyone hates us and they're going to kick us out.
And that's part of the working through, right?
Yeah, it really is.
And it is a unique challenge because you are in a lot of ways, I don't like using the word limelight, but for lack of
public,
but yeah,
it's public. You're putting yourself out there like, here I am. Here's
and
everybody my ministry.
Knows yeah. kind of what you're yeah. doing, the decisions you're making, where you live. I mean, it's unique. Something Mark and I will never experience.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. So true. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. We're getting there. Number nine, who do you both see as role models?
Well, we'll be brief here. When we first got married, there was a couple in this church, Ed and Helen Mellowitz, who they're now with the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
We just
right.
love them to death. They were our mentor couple when we got married.
Right.
And they were a role model in the sense of being so old and yet so tender and loving towards one another. Mm-hmm. You couldn't be with them more than 5 minutes without knowing they completely loved one another. Mm-hmm. You almost felt the same way they did when they got married.
Yes. How old were
they?
They
were in the 80s. They had to be upper 80s.
And they wow. died almost a year from each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
So seriously. They were just very tender to us.
Wow.
So when it comes to marital, that's pretty, they've been pretty influential, at least early on there.
Yeah. I would say when we first got married, Puritan wives were, reading on their lives was huge in my life. I loved reading those books, and for anyone who knows me, I'm not a reader. So when I was eating up those books, they must have been really good.
Because you could see yourself in it.
Yes. Or what I wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. This is the last question. We got time for this, right?
Okay.
We'll really be brief.
What has surprised you about marriage? That's kind of a loaded question.
That is.
Yeah.
They're speechless.
They're thinking. You should see their faces. It's like the thinker, you know?
I think the thing that, you know, when we purposely dated, and I can't emphasize that enough, but I knew the caliber of woman I was marrying. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I knew I was marrying a woman who loved God more than me. And that's what I wanted. That's hard sometimes. It really, truly is. But it's good. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Mm-hmm. And so I've been surprised that she's kept that going. And not in a bad way, but that influences, I think, the constant grace. I don't know how else to say it, that I'm shown. And because of that, we have far less issues than we should.
Well, my answer is not as spiritual as Dan's, but before I got married, I was under the impression that all men loved barbecuing.
Oh.
They had a passion for marinades and rubs and meat. I was really excited about this part in our marriage until I realized Dan didn't do any of that.
I'm surprised, actually, because you do all
that. I do it.
Well, I think it was that whole getting scared of being in the kitchen thing.
No.
I got scarred.
Got scarred.
Because you lived off of salsa and tortilla chips before we got
and
married.
And M&M's.
That's right.
I knew there was no cooking in your blood.
That's awesome.
That is cool. So we made it through the 10 questions. You guys, thank you. That's just awesome. So now we're going to have a little bit of fun, and we're going to go through what we call the lightning round.
With 10 questions they do not know
they
are going to be
heard
asked.
These,
that's
yeah.
scary.
That's fun.
So when we ask these questions, they're really short. We just want you to answer what comes to mind first.
Oh boy.
All right. So here's the first one. Number one, time off.
I'm already laughing because
what's
I know.
That?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would
okay.
be nice.
That's good.
Okay.
All right. Season.
Ooh, fall.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went with an actual season. I wasn't sure how you would respond, like a season in your life
Oh.
or actual.
Yeah.
weather season.
Weather season for me, yeah. Fall.
Yeah, oh, that's what came to my mind too. Yeah.
It's just too short.
It is.
Yeah. It's a, and winter is too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. True. We're all a bunch of complainers. Number three, a shower or tub?
A shower.
Oh, shower.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's quicker.
Everybody's a shower person.
It is quicker.
Oh, okay. Money.
What about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. I know it's in my mind. How do I get it out of my mouth?
That's right.
You have to use it carefully.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Always debating on what's the best use of it.
Especially for you guys, because everybody knows your money.
Yes.
All right, so as a pastor, isn't money one of the most spoken about topics in the Bible?
Absolutely. Well, actually, yeah, the Lord spoke more about money than he did anything else.
Anything else, which is an amazing concept. So.
And then hell.
It didn't what?
And then hell.
And then hell, yeah.
Yeah.
Money
ouch.
And hell.
Yeah,
right?
They oftentimes go together.
This conversation is getting hard.
We better stop.
Well, there you go.
All right, number five, Bible translation.
ESV.
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 Really?
What can I ask why?
Back when we had the bookstore. We had a little Christian bookstore, just a little quick background at Northampton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I changed from New American Standard, the 95 version. And when all the hype came out with the ESV, I took the time to really try to evaluate that, because for so many years I was New American Standard. Mm-hmm. But I really felt like the ESV was the best of both worlds. It was easier to read, and it was still a very, an essentially literal translation that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Did you ever see yourself maybe moving away from?
Not yet.
No.
And if so, I'd go back to New American Standard, because I don't think anything else.
Yeah.
Christian Standard is a good recent translation.
That's what I.
But I don't like it like ESV.
Currently been reading, and we had somebody in our Bible study actually who was reading out of the New American. And I thought he was reading out of the CSB.
CSB, it was very, very close.
Oh, well,
we had to ask him, what are you reading?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're not going to get a lot of deviation when you have a more essentially literal translation.
Right.
There's so many you can.
Right.
I like the Message.
No.
That's not a translation.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Fun one. Remote control.
Are you kidding?
Why would you ask?
Do you get any opportunity?
I don't even know how to
only
use
on
it.
Her birthday. But her birthday's coming up, so she'll get it that day.
Oh, that's nice. Right. That's
true. That is true. We have a birthday girl tomorrow.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. All right. Number eight, holidays. Now we're related, so
no
be careful.
Sweets.
Did
you
I miss it?
One you did. Stress.
Oh, number seven, stress. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone says I'm too stressed. So I'm supposed to listen
to that. Do you feel
that
you're stressed?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
He just comes across that way.
I do, and I know that that's been an issue my whole life, and with the children, and with Lauren speaking into my life. Oftentimes I've heard the message, Dan, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a tone issue. That's an intensity issue.
Again, we're related.
Yeah. So, I feel stressed constantly. But I don't know any other way of ministry, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I know many can disagree with me, and many in this church would disagree with me. But when I read scripture, and I'm sure Paul wasn't overly stressed, and so I don't handle it anything close to what he does, no doubt. But when you're running and there's much to do, it's hard to always feel relaxed when you're feeling like the days aren't long enough to get the things accomplished you want to get done. But we all know stress is bad.
Well, and I would argue a little bit that that's probably another area you get to learn what the gospel looks like
amen.
In your life, right?
And that's a great point, Heather. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Some of us are a little more prone to that, mm-hmm. and it's a reminder all the time, mm-hmm. who's in charge. Oh, yeah, right, not me.
Mm-hmm. And homemade chocolate chip cookies help.
Yeah. Yours do.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. All right, Mark, now.
Now I can ask the question, okay. Holidays.
Christmas,
yeah.
I'm a Thanksgiving guy. Yeah. I love Thanksgiving. I feel like it's the forgotten holiday.
No, mm-hmm. it's not forgotten. It's just the first feast of Christmas.
Right. I like that.
Yeah. Actually, that's good. We enjoy Christmas, too.
Yeah. They're coming. We are.
Yeah, some years I get more into it than others.
Yeah.
But I always like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because football's on.
I was actually struggling this year. Not that we need this for the podcast, but I'm going to share it anyway.
Yeah. I think, too, for you. I interrupted you.
That's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's all right. It's not a big deal. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Putting up my Christmas tree this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to move everything around to accommodate the Christmas tree. It's such a short season. And I know that's like, oh, that's a bah humbug attitude.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I was just going to say Easter. I think Easter mm-hmm. is the holiday that mm-hmm. a lot of people don't say, ooh, I love Easter.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least I don't hear it.
Yeah. Well, you just did.
You're spiritual, Mark.
I am, aren't I?
You really are.
All right. Mornings or evenings? I know who my audience is here.
I guess we're morning people, but I like the evenings better.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm morning because I can't stay awake any longer.
That's true.
My evenings are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And that's embarrassing to say.
We've learned the same thing.
But is it too early to go to bed?
But in the evening, the whole family's together. And that's my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Right. That's a good reminder for sure.
All right. Last question. Love language.
Gifts.
Gifts.
Like receiving.
Yeah, I do. And I know that I hate saying it out loud.
Well, it is. No,
it really does.
He's an expensive husband.
Right. Just kidding. He likes the gadgets. Right?
No, it could be like she comes home with a special bag of chips or something that she thought of me about.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
No, we're not talking about,
right.
you know. Most of those kind of other gifts, I'll buy myself.
A gift to me.
He's always saying.
That way I know what they are.
I bought my birthday present. I bought my Father's Day present. I bought my Christmas present.
No, exactly. So no worries.
Yeah, I buy stuff and Mark goes, so happy birthday.
And I remind her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I need hugs.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So affection. I'm a touch.
She's the affection one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Amen. Well, we made it.
We did make it. Yeah. This was fun.
It's a lot thanks of fun. For having us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being willing
to
have
us. Talk about marriage and think through these things.
Yeah. So thanks again. All right.
So now that we've heard a portion of Dan and Lauren's story, just a reminder that this is what they have chosen to share with us. But we hope you, our listeners, will understand that any pastor and his family have challenges that most of us will never experience. And may we remember to lift them up in prayer continually.
As we look at scripture, 1 Timothy 1:12 says that, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service.
Amen.
So if we look at Dan and Lauren, and really they're called to our church to serve, boy, do they need our prayers continually. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Well, we got through number two.
Right. Yeah. So I think just as a last note, our next podcast interviewers are going to be a younger couple, newly married, just a little over a year. The Shepherds.
Yeah, Noah and Tyler Shepherd.
Right.
They're fairly new to our church. And boy, are we looking forward to sitting down with them. So thanks for joining us.